Hello, Peninsula Hope Church family. I'm excited to bring God's word to you this week. My sermon is from Acts 2, 42 to 47, and the title is Complete Fellowship. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you allow us, God, to continue to meet and to be the body of Christ, even though it's over the internet. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to me today. God, I ask you to guide me and really just let everyone who hears this message, God, hear exactly what you need them to hear. Lord, I surrender myself to you. I pray that you would just take over, God. This is all about you, so I offer this time to you. I thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was looking at this passage, I noticed, and probably many of you have noticed, that in the Bible there's often captions above the either a chapter in the Bible or over a section of verses. And the caption over Acts 2, 42 to 47 in the New International Version is the Fellowship of the Believers. And Andrew and I were talking a lot about this section, you know, what's the big idea? And ultimately, I believe it is the Fellowship of the Believers. But I kind of struggled with this because as a topic, because fellowship is one of those words that we use in the church, but I don't know if all of us really know what it means. I mean, the church I grew up in had a fellowship hall where we had all of our social events and food events. We also had men's fellowship. And a youth group friend told me that if they always told their parents, hey, this would be a great time of fellowship, they usually got to go hang out with their church friends. But then you might not even think of church. I mean, there's the Fellowship of the Ring, and there's fellowships, like graduate fellowships. Maybe you had one when you were in school. So ultimately, what does fellowship mean? I mean, is it being together? Is it about the Lord of the Rings? Or is it about getting more experience in academia? Well, let's read Acts 2, 42 through 47, and then we'll talk more about what fellowship was in the New Testament church. Acts 2, 42 to 47 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. At Peninsula, the room that the English ministry meets in is the family room, but it's also called the koinonia room. And koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship that's used in the passage that we just read. And the definition from the Pocket Dictionary of Ethics is koinonia means fellowship, communion, and in a limited sense, community. The basic idea of New Testament koinonia is participation in what is held in common, being conscious of belonging to one another and to God, and sharing with one another. The sense of koinonia among Christians is driven by devotion to God. Koinonia refers both to a shared sense of identity and a moral imperative to act toward one another in a manner fitting those who participate together in the fellowship of Christ. That's a little heady, so let's unpack this a little bit more by looking at how the believers mentioned in Acts 2 lived out this fellowship or koinonia. The first quality of fellowship that we see is devotion. They devoted themselves to four main activities. The first was learning the apostles' teaching. So as the apostles were teaching about the stories of Jesus and what Jesus taught and the ethics that Jesus set forth, they were devoted to fellowship itself, to the breaking of bread, which was, you know, sharing meals together, as well as the Lord's Supper, taking communion, and they were devoted to prayer. We see that their devotion in their commitment to meeting together daily and in being together and having all things in common. Right now, the world is devoted to preventing the spread of COVID-19. We do this through social distancing, extra hand washing, sanitizing and cleaning, and wearing masks and gloves. Some countries and some U.S. states are all in, and some are a little less devoted. And you actually can see levels of devotion when you go out, because you see some people wearing masks and some people not. some people wearing gloves and some people practicing social distancing, but not everyone does. And, you know, I don't say this to judge. I know that there's different views about the seriousness of coronavirus, but ultimately, I just want to point out that often devotion is seen through action. And devotion means filtering everything through the lens of whether it fits with who or what we're devoted to. Well, devotion is an important aspect of fellowship, and another way to describe this is commitment to showing up. And the next quality of fellowship actually goes beyond just showing up. It's participation. The believers in the early church showed their devotion to Jesus Christ by participating. They didn't just sit in the meetings and let the teachings go in one ear and out the other. They actually acted on what they were taught. We see this in their sharing, in having all things in common, and we see it in the fact that some of them even sold property to give to the poor. We see it in the hospitality they showed as they opened their homes to each other. They participated in each other's lives and in the ministry of the apostles. Participation means offering something of yourself and moving past the place of simply consuming when you're in a group or in the church. Participation may mean sacrificing our own comfort to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And participation means looking for ways for everyone to participate. I heard a story at a conference recently, and actually some of our worship team members were there too, and they've heard this too. I'm gonna read the speaker's account from his book. During one of the performances at a music festival in San Francisco, a group of people had noticed a young man in a wheelchair struggling to see the band over the massive bodies standing above him. So these strangers turned their attention away from the stage and toward this young man. Several people knelt down. A small sea of hands tightly gripped tires and spokes and raised him high above the crowd. The young man, overcome by the emotion of the music and the moment, began to sing with arms lifted to the sky. The concert, which had simply been a performance up to that point, in an instant became the soundtrack to something far more meaningful. And in this incredible act of grace, the entire experience changed. It was no longer about the music or the band or the performance. It was about a beautifully communal, participatory moment that would be remembered by countless people, leaving them marked and changed for the better. Participation makes us and fellowship better. Devotion ensures that the fellowship will go on. But there's one quality of fellowship missing. It's what I'm going to call exaltation. Exaltation means lively or triumphant joy, and I think it captures what we see in this passage. Let me reread Acts 2:46 to 47a. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. It sounds like the believers wanted to be there and that they wanted to be together. I don't think people would continue to participate and be devoted to a group if it had no joy or gladness. And they also wouldn't stick around if there was no authenticity or sincerity. And their gladness seemed to extend to their sharing of themselves, their homes, and their resources. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that God loves a cheerful giver. And I think people do too. It's really hard to enjoy a gift that seems like it was given reluctantly. The joy they experienced came from the Holy Spirit. I know they weren't happy all the time, and they weren't always going through favorable situations. I mean, there's many stories in Acts of the apostles being put in prison, of being beaten for preaching about Jesus. But they had a joy that couldn't be snuffed out. They continued to meet together to pray and encourage one another. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to give us the same joy. We can add joy to our fellowship with others by sharing how God has been faithful to us, by encouraging each other, and by praising God together. Joy and gladness are contagious. While we don't want to spread the coronavirus by meeting in person, we do want to spread joy, peace, and gladness. We can do that when we meet together on Zoom. We can do it through the videos and the pictures that we've asked you to submit to Satomi, and just by reaching out to each other individually. As I bring this message to a close, I want us to think about what it was that made the fellowship of the early believers impactful. What kept it alive? I believe it was those three aspects of fellowship, devotion, participation, and exaltation, working together. Devotion meant that the believers were committed to their faith and to each other. They were willing to show up and to make sacrifices. Participation meant that they were more than spectators or consumers. When the believers came together, they partnered with each other and practiced the teachings of Jesus. And exaltation meant that they were glad to be meeting, and they shared the joy that came from the Holy Spirit. They were also sincere and shared authentically with each other. All three aspects of fellowship were needed. Devotion and participation without exaltation could become duty. Devotion and exaltation without participation could become consumerism. Exaltation and participation without devotion could mean the end of fellowship. How did the believers in Acts get all these qualities? This kind of fellowship couldn't happen without the Holy Spirit empowering the believers. Anyone who had received Jesus as Savior and made him Lord of their life, I should say anyone who has received Jesus as Savior and has made him Lord of their life, has the Holy Spirit living inside them. We can ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to build these qualities in our lives and in our fellowship. Now more than ever, we need the body of Christ. I encourage you to stay in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, inside and outside the church. Some of you have invited others to join us on Zoom on Sunday mornings, and I want to thank you for doing that. I encourage everyone to share this fellowship that we have with others by inviting them to join us. To do this, you can forward the email that we send every week, each weekend, with the Zoom meeting link and password. They do need the password because Zoom has increased security, and we also want to keep our meeting secure from random outside people who have no connection, who might want to do harm. We really want to extend our community, and we want to give this authentic fellowship that God is creating in us and helping us to keep on growing in. We want to share it with others. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for fellowship. I thank you that you've given us the body of Christ, and I thank you for the model that we have in the New Testament church. God, we need your help to be devoted to you. We need your help to participate and to continue to do that. And we need your help to find joy, God, to be living in exaltation, God, because not everything around us feels joyful. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to help each of us, God, to really seek you and ask, is there one of these areas that we really want to work on or that we need to work on? And would you help us, Holy Spirit, to look at ways that we can do that this week? I pray for our fellowship that it would continue to grow, to become richer. I pray that, God, everyone who's listening to this sermon, God, that whatever they need right now, that you would meet their need, that you would put people in their lives to enable them and help them, God, to meet the needs that they have. We ask you, Holy Spirit, just to keep on guiding us this week. We ask for your help in everything that we're doing and we're going through. We trust in you. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you everybody for joining us today, and we look forward to just continuing to see you guys on Zoom and in other ways online. Thanks.